of starting a business makes you long for your old job steady paycheck, but recall that the paycheck wasn't really that great. Your boss criticized your reports, and the petty conversations in staff meetings made you want to scream. Ignore the tendency to glamorize what you left behind. If the place you left had been all that great, you wouldn't have moved out of it to answer destiny's call. Not yet arriving at your destination can cause you to glamorize even an unhappy past and then to doubt where you are headed. You begin to wonder if you really have what it takes. Put that to rest right now. You have everything you need at the time you need it. Where you used to be does not indicate where you are going. You had what you needed for then, and you have what you need now. You gained the lessons you needed from where you were then. Now it's time to move on. Let go of what was in your past and let it stay there. Be thankful for the memories. Be grateful for the lessons learned, even the hard ones. Feel relief that the bad experiences are over and that you survived them. Keep moving, because you can't walk forward while looking back. There is so much more of life for destiny to unfold to you. Give destiny a chance. Make room for your present. You need all that energy you devote to glamorizing your past to learn the lessons you need to thrive in your present and excel in your future. As uncomfortable as you may feel moving away from what's familiar, know that God is positioning you for a purpose, unfolding new places, people, and experiences. God's destiny for you is exciting and life-changing. Why try to go back? Exposure is your test drive for destiny. Have you ever seen a car in a commercial or on a dealership lot and decided to take one for a drive to check it out? You look at the sticker price and then sit in the driver's seat. You drive it to see how it performs on the road. While you're test driving, you think about how the seat feels and whether it has enough leg room. If the car meets all of your physical requirements, you inquire about financing and monthly payments. Then you make a decision whether or not to buy it. Maybe you can't afford the car, but just having the driving experience may be enough to motivate you to work harder to make the car yours someday. Or perhaps you decide that everything you've heard about the car is hype and you really don't like it. Gaining exposure is like a test drive on a car. You enter into a new arena and you see if it fits. You see what it costs you to be in that environment and determine whether you want to pay the price. You make inquiries in your new environment just like you would about the car and find out all that you can. You have to work your way into the feel of what God is exposing you to, just like you work your way into the feel of a new car. You ask yourself, does this lifestyle fit me? When it doesn't fit your needs or your self-image, you know to keep looking. Destiny constantly gives us opportunities for exposure to the new, different, and greater. A powerful, pivotal catalyst for life, change is exposure to new facts, ideas, cultures, languages, and information. Exposure is empowering because it can mold, shape, and change you. You are the sum total of your exposure. You think the way you do based on what you've been exposed to. The foods you like are based on what you've been exposed to. The clothes you wear, even the way you wear your hair, is largely due to exposure. Exposure broadens your thinking. You realize the world is much bigger than where you grew up, and that you can navigate that larger world. Exposure teaches you that there is more than one way of doing things, and that there is not necessarily right or wrong, just different. For instance, after Americans visit other countries, they often remark, over there they drive on the wrong side of the road. Actually, they drive on the opposite side of the road. The way traffic moves in England is not wrong, it is different from the United States. Exposure teaches you that many life decisions are about choosing differently rather than some universal imperative that requires people to live a certain way. Those who have a great deal of exposure tend to be more open and less judgmental because they have chosen to challenge their thinking and make themselves vulnerable to new ideas and experiences. But these are the very same reasons some people prefer not to be exposed to new thoughts or ideas. Exposure is a choice. You can choose to take the job offered to you in the international division of the company where you work, or you can stay where you are with the same people, living in the same house, eating the same foods, driving the same route to work each day. But you don't have to travel halfway around the world to broaden your exposure. You can broaden yourself by taking a class in culinary arts or ballroom dancing or sculpting, learning a new language or cultivating a new hobby. Exposing yourself to new knowledge and experiences is a choice that you make to not live in the confines that once nurtured you. As already mentioned, once you are exposed to new ideas and experiences, you're not going to be embraced by the camp that used to affirm you. Most won't have the capacity to cheer you on to learn more and do more. They'll say, "You're still going to school? You're going to be 80 years old before you get a degree." Or, "Why do you keep working like a slave for that job?" Or, "You think you're too good for us now?" Use such disparaging commentary to motivate you out of the false comfort of mediocrity. Don't let their ignorance discourage you from pursuing destiny. Make a conscious choice to surround yourself with people who make you want to step up your game, to learn more, and to do better. Do try to bring along other willing minds when God blesses you with greater exposure. Share it with people who haven't had the benefit of your experience. For example, an up-and-coming young person. Just remember, that is not the sole purpose of your exposure. Exposure is all about conscious choices. It's easy to surround yourself with people who know less than you and who haven't had the benefit of your experiences. Those are not the relationships that pave your path to destiny. The way to your future is revealed through your relationships with people who know more than you, those who've traveled to worlds you have never seen and whose lives have touched others in ways that you can only hope to. When you choose to broaden your horizons, the price may be losing relationships, letting go of long-held family traditions, and feeling discomfort. You may feel like you don't fit anywhere. New situations are so unfamiliar and you've outgrown the old. You might worry about whether the new people you're meeting will accept you. Maybe you're not as good at this job or talented as you think. Maybe they won't accept a woman in a supervisory position. Maybe your new in-laws will turn up their noses at you. Maybe your new neighbors will be stuck up or racist. You may have so many unfamiliar and unsettling feelings from this exposure that you will begin to think, "Maybe I made a mistake." You'll question yourself. "Maybe I don't belong in this world." Maybe you don't. But exposure is what teaches you whether you do or not. You may be experiencing anxiety from unfamiliar territory, or you may decide a thing is just not for you. Part of the challenge to gaining more exposure is pushing past the feelings of discomfort as you acclimate to your new environment. Get comfortable with people addressing you as Dr. Become familiar with current events so you can join the dinner discussion at your future in-law's house. Invest in an appropriate wardrobe for the kinds of events you will be required to attend so you won't be self-conscious. Relish the benefits of traveling on the company's private jet and the special privileges that come with your new dream job. It's all a part of your exposure. When the discomfort of your new environment makes you fearful, ride the wave of feelings long enough to give it a good test drive. Your initial fight or flight response may tell you to run for your life, but determine to engage your fight response and stay exposed to your new situation until your comfort level increases. Fight through feelings of inadequacy and own the new space. Exposure also helps you know what you don't want. You may have dreamed of being famous, but when you're exposed to a brief look into the cost of fame, you may change your mind. You may decide you prefer the freedom to stroll in the mall uninterrupted and without an entourage and not mobbed by paparazzi or autograph seekers. You may have dreamed of being an investment portfolio manager, but once you are exposed to what really goes on in the industry, you may realize you have no patience for dealing with the whims and antics of trust fund babies. You may have dreamed of getting a law degree and becoming a district attorney, but with a little exposure, you discover you're better suited for corporate law. You may dream of owning your own business, but through exposure, you discover the risk of self-employment do not, for you, match the rewards. Exposure can help you know where you fit or do not fit. That said, give the new arena time before you decide whether it's a fit. First impressions may be based on faulty or incomplete information. It's wonderful that our post-industrial nation has grown to allow us to gain exposure through more than one career. A couple of generations ago, a person who had several careers often was perceived as immature or unstable. Then, a person found a job or established a business and did only that for a lifetime. Now we think in terms of multiple streams of income, making money from various fields of endeavor. How do we decide to do this? Exposure. You may work as an accountant for a small corporation, then to express your creative side, you might have a small business as a wedding coordinator. You may also blog about dating and relationships. Exposure teaches you that you have multiple talents and can engage in many endeavors, even simultaneously. Choosing exposure will require you to look at things differently and pay attention to life again. Engage, read, give, pray, act, sacrifice, think, plan, strategize, assess. New experience, new knowledge, and new environments can completely change your approach to life. Fear, excitement, anxiety, nervousness, restlessness, insecurity, these feelings are the price of exposure. Whether you click with your new environment or not, your exposure to it is always a blessing. The fact that God has exposed you to something is always a sign that it can be yours. God is exposing you so you can absorb destiny in the deepest parts of your soul. Breathe in, and believe and let God open the door to destiny through exposure. Destiny comes in pieces. Exposure to new thoughts and experiences is sometimes extremely uncomfortable for us, because we fear the unknown, new arenas in which God places us. So God has to reveal our destiny to us in pieces. If God showed you what the Almighty really had in store for you right from the beginning, it might scare you into a corner from which you might never reappear. God created you and knows what you have the capacity to do, but you don't. You may see yourself as just a chemistry student or merely a mechanic. God sees the passion inside you that goes far beyond your present circumstances. God sees the great inventor, entrepreneur, physician, or teacher you can become in time. If God showed you what he really sees in you, you probably couldn't handle it. So you get a little bit of it at a time. You have so much to learn about the journey that you receive it in stages. When I was a boy, we played a game called Mother May I. At some points, a child who was mother would say, take three baby steps or take a giant step. The child on the receiving end of the instruction had to first say, mother, may I, before taking the step. In a similar way, it's important to gain direction from God to get the next step. And as much as you would like to take a giant leap, sometimes God's instructions may be to take a couple of baby steps. You get a little bit at a time, like an infant who has just begun to tolerate solid food. Sometimes you get exposed to the business as an intern before you ever begin the trek to become CEO. Perhaps your exposure to the life of a district attorney comes while you are working your way through law school. Your introduction to having your own landscaping business may begin with you cutting lawns in the neighborhood. Your career as a solo artist may launch with you singing in the church choir. each opportunity that builds on the last until you become fully ready to stand in the position to which destiny calls you. When destiny unfolds rather than explodes in front of us, we can have a greater understanding of where we have been and where we are going. Having full knowledge of all the Almighty has in store for us would probably freak us out. The self we see now is not the person the Creator will shape to receive destiny. When I was a boy, I went to an event where my mother was speaking to a sorority group. They all knew me as Odith Jake's son. Hearing my mother speak was exposure God gave me to a tiny glimpse of my own future. After her speech, I told her, "Now they know me as your son, but one day they are going to know you as my mother." God showed me a piece of my destiny at that moment. I had no idea that the Potter's House was in my future, but I knew I would have an opportunity to speak to large groups of people. Go with the flow of destiny. When destiny is an adventure, you can go along with that. But when destiny threatens your job security or puts your financial resources at risk, it feels more like a nightmare. When destiny looks damaging, be flexible enough to change so that at the right time you will be positioned to get another step closer to where you need to be. Going with the flow of destiny doesn't mean you won't experience pain, hurt, anxiety, anger, and loss. It means you don't let it paralyze you and rob you of the opportunity for new life experiences and a new purpose. When someone is dying after all medical and all resuscitation efforts have failed, there is nothing you can do to stop it. Likewise, when a baby is about to be born, when the water breaks and the mother goes into labor, the only action to take in those birth and death moments is to adapt and adjust to the situation. Learn how to move on and find meaningful ways to fill the void the loss created in your life or stretch to accommodate the new member of the family. You don't do so in a day or because you make a decision. It is a process. But when you keep moving with the flow, you can craft a new way to find meaning in life. The Mothers Against Drunk Driving organization was founded by a mother whose daughter was killed by a drunk driver. This grieving mother found a way to keep moving in the flow of life, which no longer included her daughter, to find a new purpose for her own life. If the company where you worked for 20 years shuts down, let it die and trust that destiny is calling you into a new situation. When your marriage ends after all your efforts to keep it alive, keep going with the flow of destiny. When you realize a situation cannot be saved, let go and open yourself to new opportunities. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. never intended or desired to be such a well-known or polarizing figure. In the mid-1950s, when black citizens in Montgomery, Alabama, formed the Montgomery Improvement Association, they needed a spokesman for their boycott of the city's bus transit system. The Montgomery pastors turned to the young, highly educated pastor who was fairly new to their community. Dr. King might have chosen a different life since he was educated at prestigious institutions, but leadership during the civil rights era was thrust upon him, a role that he reluctantly accepted but then fully embraced. Dr. King moved with the flow of destiny and changed the course of a nation and the world. When we choose to move with the flow of destiny, we are trusting that God has purpose in the things that are born into and die from our lives. As we go with destiny's flow, we will find a greater part of ourselves that has yet to be revealed. When we are unable to move with the flow of our destiny, when the flow changes and we refuse to travel with it, we may find that we can no longer enjoy what used to bring us pleasure. We can't laugh at the things that we used to find funny. We become dissatisfied with the things that used to bring contentment. Life has many wonderful opportunities that do not come to us by foreknowledge or by any planning on our part. We must learn to go with the flow. even when it feels as if God has stirred up what once brought us assurance and peace. Destiny requires us to move on. Look from destiny's perspective. Charles Swindoll has been attributed with this observation: life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I respond to it. The perspective you take on life's flow and transitions makes the critical difference. Ronald Cotton spent 35 years in prison for a rape he did not commit. Exonerated by DNA evidence, Ronald and his accuser, Jennifer Thompson Canino, became close friends and even co-authored a book. But Joseph had made the decision to forgive Jennifer long before his release. "I couldn't carry on serving my time in the prison system, holding grudges and thinking about retaliating against a person that made an honest mistake. I had to proceed on in life regardless." Perspective is why a man can spend decades in jail for a crime he did not commit and hold no ill will toward his accuser. The decision to proceed in life, no matter what, is why some thrive in transition while others wither. Perspective is how you view what happens to you. Perspective moves you to look at the rubble of devastation and see the phoenix rising up from it. When people hear the word grace, they usually think of its meaning in religious terms, but grace also can be understood as a virtue or a disposition toward a thing. You can have a grace for doing something and then lose it, so your perspective changes. You can have the grace to work 70-hour weeks and it doesn't bother you. You may even thrive on it. You may do this for a long time, then fall in love, marry, have children, and as you watch your children grow up far too quickly, you may lose the grace for working such long hours. Spending time with family becomes far more important. Maybe you once had grace for putting out fires on the job, but now have lost your grace for relentless pressure. As you are more exposed, your perspective changes. Through exposure, you discover you don't have to live like you do now. Through exposure, you discover you're worthy of a mate who respects you, and your perspective changes. Through exposure, you realize that your talent can earn you a good living and great sense of fulfillment. Exposure changes your perspective. If you are serious about destiny, you will receive the gift of exposure and be willing to change your perspective. Through the ebbs and flows of life, through the challenges, the opportunities, the changed perspectives, welcome exposure to the new. You are meant to be there. Resist the urge to go back to what's familiar, and remember that even if you do, what you left behind won't be the same now. Exposure has made you a different person who can't go back to the old situation. Focus on what lies ahead, and then believe in God's power to take you there. Chapter 17. Destiny demands courage. Your steps are unstoppable. It takes courage to produce what God is drawing out of you. It means you must rise to a higher level, an unknown place that offers no guarantees about what will happen when you get there. In a culture that worships success, yet asks, "Who are you to think you can be successful?" It takes courage to believe you can contribute something. Who are you? You're not rich, and neither is your daddy. You're not famous or powerful. Ads you see in the media say you are not good looking. How dare you believe God has a fulfilling destiny for you? Who are you to dream of success? Whatever success looks like for your life, my destiny is to confirm that the door to destiny is open to anyone with the courage to knock. Economic, commercial, and professional successes are ancillary to the journey to destiny. Follow what you believe in and enjoy. Do not start on a quest to figure out the quickest way to fame and wealth. That's a critical point about destiny. Yours may include fame, but fame is not the purpose of destiny. Seek your destiny. Do not join the throng of thousands trying to be famous because they love fame, the adulation and attention that it brings. Those who enjoy enduring fame never sought fame for fame's sake. They were following a dream or a vision to accomplish something that drew them. Take courage and figure out who you truly are, not what society, your parents, spouse, boss, or best friend want you to be. It takes courage to know thyself and say, "Who cares? I'm going for my destiny." Find the courage to walk through the rubble of broken relationships when you lose friends or suffer betrayal as you climb destiny's ladder. It's painful. My own life's experience is that while accolades come from newspapers and televisions, there is a private pain you must endure as people you loved, trusted, or admired turn against you in envy. It hurts to be criticized when you're trying your best. It stings deeply when you discover the insincerity of those you thought loved you. They only loved what you could do for them. It's a harsh reality to face that someone simply wants you to fail. You don't know why. They don't know why. They just can't stand the thought of you getting what you want out of life. But you cannot go through the door of destiny without passing through the hall of haters. Be courageous enough to pursue destiny. Stand up in this world occupied by more than 7 billion people and say, "I have a unique purpose and a destiny that is distinct from any other person who has ever lived." Know that you have a role, an idea, a plan, or a vision to make a contribution to humanity. Have the courage to be uniquely you, to be different. It is easier and less stressful not to be successful, to be mediocre, and not to make waves. No courage is required to be normal and fit in. If you are more concerned about people's opinions of you than God's vision for you, then neutralize what the Almighty created in you. Give in to the peer pressure and fit in with everyone else. Dress like them, act like them, eat what they eat, spend 70 hours a week watching television like they do, live on credit, check to check as they do, satisfied with barely getting by, overspend like them, go where they go, think like they think, talk like they talk. Neutralize your divinely created uniqueness and you won't need courage. In this reality TV society we live in today, where the weak, watered down, and mediocre is the standard, it takes courage to say, "I didn't come through all that I've been through to fit a definition of normalcy. I have the courage to go after my dream." Be courageous enough to claim your right and affirm your ability to rise to greater heights. You're a rising star. You have inside you the courage and stamina to push away the negativity of conformity. Invite destiny to come in. It takes courage to be exceptional, wise, educated, beautiful, happy, spiritual, and knowledgeable, because those are steps on the road to destiny, a journey that starts inside you. Being courageous doesn't mean you will never be afraid or doubt. Quite the contrary, the one who has courage gathers up the fear and keeps moving forward. Corral your fears and move ahead with courage, daring to be the human marvel God created you to be. Don't let your destiny become a horror movie. Some people love horror movies. They tingle with fear or excitement as the protagonists struggle and strategize to survive. The modern horror flick can teach us a lot about destiny. Horror movie survivors are usually the most astute in the group. They are able to keep relatively calm during the crisis and stick with the strategy. If something goes wrong, they understand that the strategy has to change. Those who survive to the closing credits understand that the only thing that matters is staying alive. If one in their core group of survivors gets bitten, They momentarily lament the loss and keep moving. There's no time to ask crazy questions. God, why did they get bitten? Neither do they feel guilty because somebody else got bitten and they didn't. They just keep it moving because they want to stay alive. The path you travel to destiny can create as much excitement and drama as a horror movie. You need courage to keep a level head and stick with your strategy, especially when you're under attack by some undead person who doesn't want you to succeed. The protagonists in the horror movie have an advantage whenever they are under attack. Ominous notes begin to play, signaling what's about to go down. Music comes to indicate trouble has arrived. You don't have the benefit of background music when drama unfolds in your life, but you can still keep your life from becoming a horror movie. First, don't feed on the drama. Stay calm. Horror movies are intended to be overly dramatic to entice your emotions. Notice those who die in a horror flick are the ones who scream and freak out. They feed into the drama. When you are attacked on your destiny journey, don't give in to that drama in your life. Second, stay with the strategy. Be the protagonist in your own life script and calmly stick with your strategy. This book will equip you to craft a strategy for destiny, but especially refer to chapter 3, and God will let you know it's the right one for your life if you seek your Creator. When you have a strategy to fulfill your life's purpose, you may have to make some adjustments as circumstances change, but stick with the plan. Third, don't court the undead, even if the undead are those you love. The undead enjoy infecting other people and sucking the life out of them. You don't have the luxury of hanging out with people who have no purpose and have given up on bettering themselves. Fourth, distinguish vampires from zombies. Understand what kind of undead is out to get you so you can devise a winning strategy. The classic vampire of the modern horror genre is smart, cunning, and physically attractive. When he comes after you, he'll usually be smooth, even charming. He studies his prey, chooses carefully, and lures you in before the strike. Vampires take longer to recognize because they are engaging and charismatic, and they may engross you in stimulating conversation. They are dangerous because ultimately they suck out your life force. They don't care about your hopes, dreams, or destiny. They're predators who want to drain you dry. Then there are zombies, the moronic undead. They don't think, they don't try to charm. They are simply flesh-eating predators. They operate in a perfunctory manner, simply seeking to devour living flesh. It doesn't matter if it's you or the person next to you. A zombie could be your best friend, mother, twin, or college roommate, but will still attack you. Fifth, keep it moving. The journey to destiny can operate like a horror movie script. You may have started out with a group of friends, fellow students, co-workers, or business partners who were determined to fulfill your purpose and live in destiny. Along the way, some couldn't fend off attacks by the undead, but watch out. Because that now undead person you were once close to, dreamed dreams with, cast visions with, and planned destiny with, could attack you. Horror movie survivors keep moving in the midst of terror. They don't stop to ask why. Feelings of betrayal and hurt are natural responses when people or events wreak havoc on your destiny journey. But bind your wounds and keep it moving. Glance back and cry for a bit, but you don't have a lot of time for whys. God owes you no explanation for allowing painful circumstances. God only promised to be with us and provide comfort during those times. Rest in the assurance that God is with you. If you ask the person responsible for your trauma, he or she probably couldn't explain it. Just like the flesh-eating zombie or vampire pursues prey because that is its nature. The undead in your life derail your destiny because that's all they know to do. A woman saw a dying baby rattlesnake, brought it home, and nursed it to health. When the snake returned to full force and vitality, he bit the woman. "Why?" the dying woman asked, as the venom slowly infiltrated her bloodstream. "Why did you bite me when I took you in my home and cared for you until you got well? Is this how you repay me?" The rattlesnake replied calmly and dispassionately, "You knew I was a rattlesnake when you took me in." People do what they do. If you are courageous enough to keep moving toward destiny, you will outgrow the need to ask why. Your why will be that you've become someone else. You've grown and expanded. Your thoughts, actions, needs, and desires now frighten stymied people, so they try to trip you up as you rise. Don't get distracted by them. Don't spend time wondering, "Why is she doing this to me?" Summon the courage within yourself to live the life you desire. It takes courage to let go of limiting people, even when they hurt you and impede your destiny. You need courage to admit they're like vampires and zombies. Gather up your courage and let such relationships go for destiny's sake. What do you do when the theater lights go on? You let out a sigh of relief when the drama is over. The last scene in the movie shows the lone survivor worn, breathless, and perhaps a bit disoriented. When the horror movie has ended and the credits roll, we like to think that the protagonist has survived to live happily ever after. What really happens to the horror story's survivor when the movie is over? The vampires have been destroyed with a silver bullet. The zombies have all been obliterated. Along the way, friends who started in the fight have been lost. There is only one survivor who will go out into a different world without the people who shared in the struggle. What do you do when you have survived all the challenges you faced to get ahead, and there's no one left who understands the journey but you? All the buddies you started out with didn't survive. Most of the time, people are so busy trying to make it that once they get there, the feelings of loneliness can become overwhelming. No one in your new world understands what it's like to survive on ramen noodles just to get to your next financial aid check in college. No one in your new world grew up in a trailer park eating government cheese. None of your colleagues were taken to juvenile hall for engaging in gang warfare. When no one around you understands, with whom do you celebrate the victory against the overwhelming odds? If you're lucky, maybe you had a successful friend who made it through the horror movie-like drama of trying to get ahead. More than likely, there will be no one but you. The new life you have includes a spouse whose parents both have doctoral degrees. The college sweetheart with whom you vowed "it's just me and you against the world" decided to opt out of the struggle long ago. She wasn't willing to wait it out for you to get ahead. Truthfully, she probably couldn't survive in your new world anyway. The 1950s movie When Worlds Collide was a science fiction drama about the catastrophic results of a new planet colliding with Earth. Your old world doesn't belong with your new world. As lonely as you may feel at times, remember that your new world is worthy of discovery. Meet the people in it. Savor the new experiences. Find fulfillment in the life destiny has drawn you into. Your experiences have made you stronger, but they were not meant to define all of your life. Fill your loneliness with the spirit of an explorer. There is so much in your new world that you don't know. The people there may have a different history, but they have overcome their own challenges. You can learn from them, like them, and even find commonalities in your experiences. There may always be a lonely spot in your heart from the drama you survive, but the totality of your life lived in destiny will be more than enough to offer you the full life you desire. The decisions you made to help you become a survivor are the same skills that will help you find a comfortable place in your new world. Make destiny decisions. Some decisions don't have an impact on your destiny. It won't matter whether you put on black socks or brown socks today. You can drive a red car or a silver one, a sedan or SUV. Some decisions are inconsequential choices, so please don't place yourself under pressure by thinking every decision has to be carefully crafted, lest your destiny be lost. Make the choices you want and enjoy your life. But you will have to make some decisions that are pivotal to destiny. These choices will make the critical difference between your ability to arrive at destiny or not. These decisions will have an impact on the rest of your life. Destiny decisions have a price. I'm not necessarily talking about a monetary cost, although financial choices often have an impact on destiny. Most often, the cost is courage in interpersonal relationships. It takes courage to make destiny decisions, courage to ignore what grandma wants you to do with your life and choose destiny. Your destiny decision may cost you Uncle Willie's approval. Your destiny choices may cause you to lose some people you regarded as friends. What are you going to do with the life you have left? You may have 50 years or you may have 2, but find the courage to make destiny choices for the time you have. Some are afraid to make decisions and they contemplate their options so long they miss their window of opportunity. They delay too long in making decisions. They could have purchased a property at a great price after the housing bubble burst, but they missed the opportunity. They delayed investing in certain stocks and missed their opportunity before the market rebounded and prices got too high. They waited too late to launch a career or to bear children. When you're so fearful that you're immobile, you can take too long to decide. If you make no decision, the door to destiny may swing shut. You can take too long to ask the right woman to marry you. You can take too long to decide on a career change. You can take too long to decide to have children. Fear can make you take too long to decide, but fear can also scare you into making decisions too fast. Figuratively, fear can make you grab the first train coming because you're afraid there won't be another, so you marry too soon, take the wrong job, or make a commitment before you're properly situated to honor it. When you make decisions too fast, you reflect back on your choices and say, "I wish I had known that before I decided to do what I did." There is a critical correlation between destiny and decisions. The decisions you make are the path to your destiny. Your decisions will lead you to your destiny. Putting great decisions in motion will change your life. Sometimes it's not courage we lack to make a decision, it's information. Good information can bolster our courage to make destiny decisions. It's terrifying to make a decision in the darkness of ignorance. You should be scared to make decisions with no information. Good information can unfreeze the paralysis of your mind to make a destiny decision. Before you build a house, common sense says count the cost. You don't just start building a house without knowing how much time and money it will cost you. Whether you're quitting your job to return to school, changing careers, or changing your relationship status, get good information. Once solidly informed, make your destiny decisions. You can't make great decisions with erroneous information. I watched a television program one night about a judge who was about to rule on whether or not to extend a stay of execution for a man who was condemned to die by lethal injection. Everything was prepared for the execution. However, on the day before the scheduled execution, the condemned man's attorney presented new information to the judge. The information he provided changed the convicted man's life. With the new data the judge received, he spared the man's life. When you're about to make a destiny decision, get all the accurate information you can. When you've got a good idea of what you're coming up against, you can muster the courage you need to keep going. Stop using the excuse that you're waiting on God. Sometimes waiting is merely justification for inaction. You may be waiting on God while God is waiting on you. God has provided and prepared everything you need. He just needs you to take a step toward it. Get the best information you can and make a decision. Sometimes we move timidly as though there is only one precise step we can make, and if we don't make the right one, all of our hopes and dreams will collapse. That's simply not true. Always strive to make your choices based on sound information and then move forward. There will be times when you decide based on a hunch or a feeling, pray about it, and follow that choice. You will find that even when your decision was not the best, God can still use the situation to bless and propel you toward destiny. Elevate your mind to destiny. Some are called to destiny, but never answer. They prefer to keep their heads down and live below destiny level because destiny requires showing courage in addition to changing, demonstrating vision, entering new arenas, stretching, growing, failing, and getting back up again. You have to do some things to release what God has prepared for your life. It is not going to happen in spite of you. It will only happen because of you. Saying, whatever happens in my life is all right with me, is not choosing destiny. Now is the time for you to make the decisions that will empower you to rise. God will give you glimpses of destiny, but you may not know how to get there. When I was a boy, God began giving me peeks at my destiny, but I had no idea at the time how I would get there. I now can see how time and again I was elevated to a larger arena. Each time a place became confining, I was able to rise to another level. Each new level was bigger so I could grow, and as I arrived in those larger spaces, I had to learn new skills. In each new environment, I was able to order and steady my steps, gain my confidence, learn from new exposure, and absorb new knowledge. At no stage of life should you be content to sit comfortably thinking that you have arrived, that destiny offers you no new vistas of opportunity, challenge, or growth. There is always another level to attain in some arena of life. God has created us humans as such fascinating creatures that we are able to grow on many different levels. You may have reached your highest economic destiny, but have not yet arrived at your highest level spiritually. You may still have room to grow to a level where you tune out the world's chatter to hear the voice of God speaking to you. You may have reached your professional destiny, but still have room to grow in your relationships. You can get to know your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, or even your parents in closer or more intimate ways. Destiny is calling out to you. You are on the cusp of change. More is calling to you. You are not selfish. You are not ungrateful. You are not greedy. There really is more. You cannot stay where you are without feeling discontent. No matter where you are in pursuit of destiny, get ready. Get ready. Get ready to elevate your mind to the high calling of destiny. Acknowledgements. The idea for destiny crystallized as a continuation of instinct, providing a thread through which to weave together two distinct but companion concepts. In my previous book, Instinct, I shared how you are wired and provided strategies to unleash what God has already placed inside you. Instinct is the how, but destiny reveals why you are wired. I felt particularly compelled to write this book because I believe the why is always more powerful than the how of life. I'm excited about this book as an opportunity to move beyond the how and explore the why. Both connect to direct you to destiny. The depth of my appreciation for the special people who invested in this project goes far beyond what the words written here could ever possibly express. From the moment this book was conceived, a multitude of people made sure that this work would come to life. Your timeless investment inspires me to continue to fulfill my purpose and destiny. My ongoing gratitude to my publishing family at Hachette, Faith Words, for their passionate effort to make this book bigger and better than any of us dreamed. Thank you, Rolf Zetterson, and the entire Hachette team who embrace and support me and my work with the utmost respect. This book is better because of the editorial acumen and insight of Adrian Ingram. Jan Miller and Shannon Marvin at Dupree Miller & Associates continue to amaze me with their tireless dedication and passionate partnership. I appreciate you and your team more than you know. Special thanks to Olivia M. Cloud for your prolific literary experience. Your expert pushing and pulling helped me express my unique way with words. Thank you, Olivia. I want to thank all the faith leaders and pastors who have been so helpful to me down through the years in charting my course and fueling my vision with prayer and support. Thank you to my partners around the world, my Potter's House church family, and countless journalists, entertainers, actors, and business leaders who have found my literary work relevant to their lives. I'm indebted to my team at TDJ Enterprises, especially Jamar Jakes and Zanoran Holmes, who tirelessly labored to enhance this project with their insights and creativity. Thank you for helping me get my message out with excellence. I have discovered what is most important, how to live intentionally, and how to run with purpose. From my children, I have learned to live and love much more deeply. I hope I have taught you that your greatest source of motivation is finding the untapped potential yet within you. Thank you, Jermaine, Jamar, Cora, Sarah, and Dexter, for the privilege of watching you master your date with destiny. I always say that destiny leaves clues. My incredible wife, Sarita, is who God gave me to reveal the beauty and loving kindness of my life's journey. Honey, I can't write my destiny story without you. You truly are the best. My love, my thanks to all.
This has been a Hachette audio production of Destiny, Step Into Your Purpose. Written and read by T.D. Jakes. Produced by Cheryl Smith. Recorded by Renee Coronado. Post-production by John Colucci. Destiny is also available in print and digital formats from Faith Words, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette audio productions, visit us at hachetteaudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 2015 by TDJ Enterprises, LLP. Audio production copyright 2015 by Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. In accordance with the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, the duplicating, uploading, and electronic sharing of any part of this audiobook without the permission of the publisher constitutes unlawful piracy and theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, prior written permission must be obtained by contacting the publisher at permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.